We've been speaking about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is, that it's this thing that isn't a future thing, but it is breaking in here and now, but not yet in its fullness. That sometimes we get trapped and we think about our faith. I've said yes to Jesus, and so now it's just about going about my way until he comes back or I go to him. Then I will experience his kingdom life. And yet the kingdom life, faith, is about living out now, learning to live out now the kingdom life in our day-to-day. That Jesus, we looked at a couple weeks ago, was talking to Nicodemus, and he says, the only people who are going to see and enter the kingdom of God are those who are born from above, those who are born again. That faith isn't about trying to merge our old life with the new life. It's about completely dying to the old life and having this new life, the life of Christ, birthed in us. That Jesus changes everything about us. Nothing will ever be the same. So I want to ask you a couple questions. Think back on your life. If your life is not that long yet, think back 5 years, 2 years, or maybe 10, 20, 30 years. What is something you wish you had done differently? What is something you wish you had spent more time doing? What is something you wish you had spent less time doing? What would you do differently? What would you wish you spent more time on? What would you wish you had spent maybe less time on? When you have an answer to one or all of those, share those with someone around you if you would feel comfortable. What do we wish we had spent less time doing? What do we wish we had spent more time doing? Every year or so, I often will have these articles come across my feed or just in a magazine I'm reading where they'll talk to people who are sort of on their last days and ask these questions. What do you wish you had done differently in your life? And one of the answers that comes up most consistently with people is that they wish they would have spent more time with people, with family and loved ones. They wish they would have actually spent time doing the difficult thing of forgiving one another and repairing relationships. That they realize they had thrown away relationships over very small things that they let grow into big things. They often comment that this good life they were searching for was already there in the relationships around them and they missed it. The answers that rarely make the list, if ever, are that people wish that they would have spent more time at work. Or I wish I had spent more time on business trips. I wish I had spent more time climbing the ladder in my field. Like those answers don't come up. But the irony of those answers is when we're on the other side, when we think our life is going to go on forever, is we flip those. Right, life right now, for many of us, or at least in our society, it's all about getting more stuff. It's all about getting better stuff. It's all about climbing whatever ladder in your field it is, that we will go to great heights to try to unlock this good life that's always somewhere ahead of us that we're trying to go after. That we will spend our time, our energy, our resources gathering more stuff, going after things, and we will easily sacrifice our family and friends and people for these things. This side of life, we often think spending time with family and friends, we'll have tomorrow to do that. We'll have the next day to do that. And the next thing you know, your kids are off to college or they're across the country, and you're like, oh, I don't have tomorrow. Or we live in a world where every little thing suddenly becomes a huge thing and we just sort of pass people off. I didn't like what you said or how you smelled. Oh, well, I'll go find someone else. Like we will throw people off. That relationship's no longer worth it. I'll just find a new relationship. I'll unfriend you and I'll follow someone else. It's funny how we flipped these two things. If you remember back when the lockdowns for COVID first hit, a couple months in, there was article after article coming out where people were realizing how few true friends they had. And there were all these promises that when COVID was over, when we could get back into the world, that we were going to spend time investing in relationships and surrounding ourselves with those friends. And yet, since the lockdowns have ended a couple years ago, what's happened is loneliness in almost every age group has increased. That as we've come out of the lockdown, we've been in hot pursuit, but not of relationships. Of trying to make up for the money we lost in our 401s or our bank accounts. Or trying to get back the trips that we missed. And sadly, relationships sort of have fell to the side. Those can wait. But for how long? What are we waiting for? Today we're going to look at a passage that many pastors, when we preach on this, it's one of those that we're like, here it goes. Because it's one that not many, especially as Americans, we like to talk about. Because it's going to talk about the things that we treasure. It's going to talk about our money and our possessions. And as soon as you bring that up, everyone's like, oh no, they want more. And we start thinking about stuff. It makes us uncomfortable, and it probably should. But what are you currently pursuing? What is the treasure that you're seeking? What is the prize that you've set your eyes on? What is the thing that you keep looking at on Amazon or some site where you're like, I want to click, I want to click? What is it that you're after? Would you stand with me as we read from Matthew 6, 19 to 24? Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moss and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moss and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your whole eyes are full of health, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. One of the things in this passage that you may have heard is we discover in this passage some of the difficulty in translating the Bible. That you might have said, what happened to rust? I always remember there was rust in this passage. Well, it's because in the Greek there's a specific word for rust that's not used here. The word here that's used in the Greek means corrode, break down, and so it was just translated rust. But scholars said, well, actually there's a specific Greek word for this. I was trying to look up this week why they chose vermin, and I have no idea why they chose vermin. Because the word, it's this idea of things that break down and things that rust. And there's another word later on that gets sort of, we only get a part of it. But how many of you would call yourself a follower of Jesus, a disciple? Okay, this is the word for you then today. Jesus is speaking to the crowds. He's speaking to the disciples, and he says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Hear that again. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Ouch. That word, do not, it's a command. In the Greek, it's an imperative. There's no wiggle room. It's Jesus saying, if you're going to be my disciple, this is how you will live. You will not store up for yourself treasures on earth. And sometimes when we hear this passage, we try to figure out, well, Pastor, what's a treasure? Well, Jesus sort of defines it, and he says, if thieves can break in and steal it, if moss and other things can eat it and ruin it, if it can be destroyed, corroded, or break down over time, it's a treasure. And Jesus says, these are the things we are not to store up. And this word store up also means we're not to accumulate. We're not to store up for future use. We're not to hoard for ourselves. Jesus is telling his disciples that storing up for ourselves treasures here on earth is opposite to the heart of God. You see, the God that we serve, that we love, he is a generous God. He is a giving God. He's a God who blesses others for things to enjoy. That he sent Jesus to earth as a blessing for us, that we might see God in flesh, that we might he might give his life for us, that our sins might be forgiven. We have a God who gives, a God who is generous, a God who blesses. And as his disciples, we are called to be givers, to be generous. But when we store up stuff for ourselves here on earth, it makes it hard to be generous. That you might have heard that we have been blessed by God. God gives us things for our enjoyment. In the Old Testament, when he gave Israel, he talked about the land he wanted to give them of not being just an okay land or a land that will get by, but it's described as a land flowing with milk and honey. God is a God who wants to bless his people, but God expects us, wants us to enjoy those things, but he also wants us to pass those blessings on. That all the blessings that God has given us, whether it's money or material things or time or talent, all of that is meant for us to be enjoyed, but it's meant to be passed on to others. It's meant to be shared. Miroslav Volf, in one of his books, writes that God is a blessing God. He gives us things to enjoy, and we are meant to become rivers of God's blessing and grace to others. That as God gives us stuff, that we freely give it to others when we see there's a need. And he warns against becoming dams of possessions, of people who hoard and hold on to everything. Now, to Jesus' hearers, they would have heard this and it would have shook them. Because like then, even today, we often see material possession as a sign of God's blessing. That if you have a lot of stuff, then God must be blessing you. There are even parts of Christianity that they teach, we sort of call them the health and wealth gospel. If you give a little to Jesus, then he will bless you with all this earthly stuff. And so this flipped that understanding upside down. And really for us today, it should flip us upside down. It should stop us in our tracks. Because this is the direct opposite of what we've been told growing up, what we've been told to live for. We have been trained to accumulate stuff. We have been trained to store up stuff. We've been taught to go after everything that rusts, everything that something can get in and eat, things that break down. We're taught to accumulate as much of those as you can. We're taught to be dams of possessions. One of the things we need to understand about our society is capitalism has a lot, has some good things about it. It spurs choice, it spurs invention, that we have a lot of solutions to our problems that have come through it. But we also have to know that capitalism has a dark side. That it's built upon the premise that we will keep on buying things. We see it every year and that there's always these incremental increases in things. This is so much better now, buy it. It's better than what you had last year. Especially with these little gadgets in our pockets. It's like, well, there's a new phone out. It's so much better than the last one, and you need it because it's going to change your life. No, the phone's that much better. But we're taught to not be content with what we have. We're taught to compare ourselves to people who have more, and we're taught that unless you have what they have, you will never be happy. And so we're taught to continue to spend, to continue to buy, to continue to store up treasures. I'd ask you this week to walk through your home, your apartment, and look around and ask yourself, is it a river of blessings or a dam of possessions? In Luke 12, in a similar sort of teaching Jesus gives, in verse 15, he tells the disciples, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions." Hear that again. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. That couldn't be any more countercultural, because we're taught your life does consist in the abundance of your possessions. And notice that Jesus says, be on the watch against all kinds of greed. It's not just one particular kind of greed. We as Americans, whenever you start talking about greed, we get all nervous. I'm not greedy. that person, they're greedy. We will look to someone who has more and say, they're greedy. When I get to that level, then I'm greedy. But right now, I'm not greedy. We're greedy with our time. We're greedy with our resources. We're greedy with stuff. There's all sorts of greed. That so many people are in need, that we're so short of things in our world, is because there is greed. The president of World Vision, he threw out a stat that if Christians in America gave 1% more, they would lift 1 billion people out of poverty. If American Christians alone gave 1% more, they would lift 1 billion people out of poverty. We have a greed problem. And we don't like talking about it. Because we've been taught to store up treasures for ourselves. And so it asks us to reflect, what are we treasuring? What are we storing up? Does greed have a hold of our heart? See, the thing with greed is it hardens our heart to God. It resists a heart to want to be generous. It covers our ears to the cries of those in need. And it prevents us from blessing one another. And do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Well, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? Jesus tells them, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin or rust do not destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. Jesus invites his disciples that if we follow him, that we'd be men and women who store up treasures in heaven. And again, heaven isn't just a future reality, it's a present reality. That Jesus is inviting us as his disciples to be men and women who store up treasures. And one of the ways we store up treasures is by living out the will of God for your life. And you maybe ask, well, what's God's will for my life? I wish I knew what it was. Well, Jesus gives the answer when his disciples come to him and say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. That we are to be men and women who are learning and being shaped by the life of Christ in us to begin to live now on earth as we will in heaven. To live out the heart of God. Another way of putting the will of God, what is God's will for us? It's for us to know God and to be formed by God. It's for us to walk in the truth and be obedient to God, his truth and his commands. And we ask, well, what is God's commands? What do they look like? Jesus says, to live be in obedience to my commands is to carry them out with a love of God. To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love one another as ourselves. To love our neighbors. Jesus says all of the commands that you find in the Old Testament are to be seen and interpreted and carried out through those commands. To love God with all we have and to love one another. And again, we often sort of ask, well, who's my neighbor? If I'm at work, like, who is my neighbor? And we look for ways around these things. Now, Pastor, I was reading this week, made a comment, and he said, you know, the problem is when we're looking for who our neighbor is, trying to define who our neighbor is, we find all reasons to not be neighborly. He says, the real question is, God is asking, to whom will you be a neighbor? And he said, the answer to that is to whoever comes across your path. Who is it, God, that you want me to love today? Who is it you want me to serve today? Who is it that's in need today? Who is it that I can bless today? Well, all you got to do with that is just open your eyes, who's next to you, and listen to what's going on in their life. The answer's right there. To store up treasures in heaven, it also looks like when we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives each day, when we practice loving others, when we practice patience and joy and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, when we exercise self-control with ourselves and others, that is a way that we store up treasures in heaven. We store up treasures in heaven when we slow down and we talk to people, when we enter into their lives. When we enter in with compassion, when we enter in to try to hear their stories, what has shaped them, what has gone on in their life, and we come alongside them and we help them walk and grow in faith, when we point them to Jesus. It's when we turn and offer our support, our presence, our resources to brothers and sisters and people in need. It looks like turning our cheek when we want to seek revenge. It means extending mercy and grace when we want justice. But all of these things, loving others, doing good to others, loving God with all we have, listening to people, practicing kindness and goodness, all of those things take time. And many of us, our schedules are way too full of other things to do this. We will easily make room for the pursuit of things and treasures of this world. But when it comes to storing up treasures in heaven, those things rarely do we make time for. So the only thing that will be with us in eternity from this life are those who've said yes to Jesus. Everything else we're storing up doesn't go with us. Because Jesus says, I am preparing a place for you that will blow away the best of this world. So quit trying to build your kingdom here. Your retirement, I've taken care of it, and it's better than anything here. But the people around you are the ones that God wants to see in his kingdom. But often when we invest in other people, when we walk with them through difficult times and good times, those don't necessarily lead us to more treasures on earth. So what is our heart set on? See, here's the thing about treasures. Wealth and money and possessions. Jesus, we don't have time, but Jesus goes on and talks about our eyes. He talks about our heart. And he says, we're to have eyes that are healthy, which means we're to have eyes that are generous, eyes that are singularly focused, eyes that are pure. That word healthy in the Greek, it actually means all of those things. That our eyes are to be focused on Jesus and him alone. Our eyes are to be generous with the things we have. The reason what happens is Jesus is trying to tell us about eyes because Jesus understands what our advertisers understand. That what gets put in front of our eyes, we quickly set our eyes on that as a prize, as a treasure. And when it becomes a prize and a treasure, it then has our heart. And when something has our heart and it's not Jesus, it then becomes an idol and it gets control of our life. And wealth and possessions, they have a way. We go to them for all the things we look for in Jesus. They offer us security. They offer us value. They offer us purpose. They offer us meaning. They offer us all these things. And the reason they work against generosity is because if you start giving these things away, it starts taking away from your wealth, your value, your security, your identity. And we can't do that, so we just hold on to them. But when our eyes are on Jesus and we understand that Jesus has declared us valuable because he loves us and he died for us and he created us, when we understand that our security is found in Jesus, our meaning is in Jesus, our value is in Jesus, our purpose is in Jesus, when it's on Jesus alone and he doesn't change, then all these other things become tools and blessings that we can just throw away as we see need. And when we give them away, they don't take away from us because we're fully found in Jesus. That's the good news of the kingdom. That's the good news when we're focused on Jesus. When we find in him the only one who can give us security, value, purpose, meaning, and love. All of those things, all these other things in the world just become things that were meant for us to be enjoyed by God and then to give them away as we see need. But man, we're so easily distracted. Anything that glitters or shines, or we compare ourselves to others, and we quickly take our eyes off of Jesus, and as soon as we take them off Jesus, sin comes rushing at us, the old life. And says, no, you can't trust God with this. I'll give it all to you, and I won't even ask much of you. That Jesus is reminding us to have our eyes set on Jesus. that each and every day, this again, why we talk over and over, each and every day, how do we set our eyes on Jesus? Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with brothers and sisters who can encourage you to continue to walk and fight the faith. Give brothers and sisters permission to speak into your life. But again, we so easily find room for other things than for God. I don't have time. I don't have time. No, we do have time. It's just how are we going to spend it? And how we spend our time also reveals to us what our heart really treasures. That if we say, I treasure God, I love God, He has my heart, but we won't spend more than 5 minutes when we're in trouble with Him each day, but we'll spend the rest of our life investing in all these other things, guess what has our heart? Not Jesus, not fully. If we really love Jesus, if we have Him, if He's our treasure, then that should be the first thing we carve out time in our day for. And that's going to look different for each and every one of us. Some of you are morning people. Johnny, I give him, he's like, I'm up at 5. And I'm like, not me. Some people are morning people. If that's your best time, give it to God. If your best time is the middle of the day, spend your lunch hour fasting and in the Word of God. If your best time is in the evening or 3 o'clock, give Jesus that time. If your best time is before bed, which I don't know who that is, but maybe you're a night person, give God that time. But set your eyes on Jesus sometime throughout the day, because it changes the rest of your day. What do we treasure?